I'd like to just take a brief time now where I can share a few thoughts from God's Word this evening. A few thoughts, of course, taken, given that this is Christmas Eve, taken from the Christmas narrative, the account of the birth of the Lord Jesus, given to us in Luke chapter 2, a text that we read earlier in our evening together. From Luke chapter 2. But actually, I'm not going to focus on the entire account there in Luke chapter 2, but rather I'm going to focus on one verse from Luke chapter 2. Well, actually, I'm not going to focus on one verse from Luke chapter 2, but rather I'm going to focus on one phrase from one verse in Luke chapter 2. Well, actually, I'm not going to focus on one phrase from one verse in Luke chapter 2, but I'm going to focus on, at least in the original, one word that is translated into a phrase in our English Bibles, and that phrase is, "It came to pass." It came to pass. We see this phrase right at the beginning, right at the get-go of the Christmas account in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Even as I read that verse from my New King James Version, I am reminded that other English translations, other fine English translations of the New Testament, choose not to include that phrase, "it came to pass." They choose not to, at least I would assume, they choose not to for the following reason, I expect. It is because it's such a simple phrase. It's such a simple, benign, almost unnecessary phrase. For really all that it seems to be saying, at least at first glance, is, "and it happened next. And it happened next that. And this is what happened next. And this is what happened next." In other words, it serves, at least at first glance, to merely advance the narrative. Advance the narrative. Keep the storyline moving. Keep the plot moving. Keep the storyline moving. And yet, I would suggest that in my mind, perhaps it's a little bit more significant than that. A little bit more significant phrase than just that. And I say that for the following reason. This is why I think it's a little bit more significant, a little bit more important for us. And I want to focus on it this evening. "It came to pass" suggests to me, reminds me, emphasizes for me when I'm reading this text, that what I am reading are real historical events. It came to pass. It came to pass. They serve to remind me that these are real historical events. That what I'm reading here is not merely a pleasant story, a lovely story, a story that we want to tell each other at this time of year, at this Christmas time of year, each year. It is not simply a lovely story that we like to portray in Christmas cards. It is not simply a lovely story that we want to portray in nativity scenes. But rather, what we are reading here is a historical account of real and historical events. For that reason, I believe that Luke, the writer, uses this phrase, "it came to pass," far more than any of the other three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and John. That it is Luke that far and away uses this phrase, "it came to pass," most frequently. Now, why do I have you note that? Because it is the gospel writer Luke, more so than Matthew, Mark, or John, who takes the approach as he writes of a precise historical writer, a careful and precise historian as he writes. It is Luke, after all, that includes so many little historical details as he writes. Luke is the masterful, precise, careful historian among the gospel writers. And it is Luke who most frequently, by far, employs the phrase, "it came to pass, it came to pass, it came to pass." Notice, actually, if you were to flip back a page or so in your Bibles, look back a chapter to Luke chapter 1, and there in the early verses, Luke himself presents to his reader, and I say reader singular because Luke is writing to an individual, to one individual, Theophilus. And he explains there in the early verses of Luke chapter 1, in Luke chapter 1 verse 3, he explains his purpose in his writing. That his purpose is to present in his writing to Theophilus a very careful account, an orderly account, a very careful, orderly, and precise account. It is that Luke is trying to present here. And so once again, it is significant that Luke, the historian, Luke, the one presenting an ordered account, is the one who again and again says, "And it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass," reminding us of the real historical nature of his gospel and of this Christmas account we have in Luke chapter 2. Let's look a little bit deeper. Let's look a bit more closely at how Luke uses this phrase in Luke chapter 2. He uses it, first of all, in chapter 2, verse 1, and then we see it again a little bit later in the text. We actually, again, see it a number of times as Luke writes. But I want you to have a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1, first of all, and then a verse a little bit later in the Christmas account. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, I read earlier, but here it is again. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." A decree went out from Caesar Augustus. There, if ever there was so, there is a clear historical fact. There is a clear historical figure. Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus. There can be no doubt about the existence of Caesar Augustus. We learned about him in our high school history classes. We learn about him in our college history textbooks. There's no doubt about him. But what's interesting is, as we move forward now to Luke chapter 2 and verse 15, Luke again uses this, the same word in the original that can be translated, "it came to pass." Actually, in my New King James Version, it translates it slightly differently, but it is the same word. Instead of "it came to pass," Luke 2:15 says, "So it was that. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass.'" It came to pass, it came to pass. And so it was, and so it was. And what I would have you note there is that in Luke 2:15, when he is now talking about angels appearing, an angel to announce to the shepherds, and then angels filling the skies above Bethlehem, that Luke speaks in the very same matter-of-fact tone, the very same matter-of-fact historical manner. "And it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass." That same manner that he does back in chapter 2, verse 1, when he's speaking of Caesar Augustus issuing forth a decree. He speaks in that same matter-of-fact manner. Why? Because both of these, chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 15, are very straightforward historical facts. Caesar Augustus sent forth a decree. The skies above Bethlehem were filled with angels. It really happened. It really happened. Just to illustrate this a little bit further, let me have you in your minds contrast this with a different type of story that we might tell. This time, imagine with me telling a fairy tale to a child. When we begin that fairy tale, what do we say? Do we say, "And it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass"? Do we say, "Now this all happened during the reign of King so-and-so"? No, we don't say that. Instead, how do we always begin a fairy tale? "Once upon a time." Once upon a time. And when we say that, we signal to our ears, and I believe we signal even to the child's ears, that what we are dealing with there is a fairy tale. A wonderful tale, an interesting tale, but merely a tale, merely a fictional account, a fairy tale. But back here in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, you know where I'm going with this, right? Back here in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, we don't read "once upon a time," but rather we read "it came to pass, it came to pass, it came to pass." Why does Luke write that it came to pass? Because it did come to pass. It did come to pass that once again we are dealing with real historical accounts here. And so Luke continues. And so Luke continues, and the gospel writers continue. Luke continues through the Christmas account. It came to pass. It came to pass. And it was not merely a nice story, but rather it actually happened that a virgin did conceive. It came to pass. It is not merely a nice story, but it actually happened that an angel did announce to the shepherds. It came to pass. It's not merely a nice story, but it actually happened that the skies were filled with angels praising God. We read also in Matthew that it came to pass that it's not just a nice story, but rather it actually happened that a star appeared and stood over where the young child was, guiding the magi, guiding the wise men from a far off country to come and worship this child. That it came to pass, that it came to pass, that it came to pass. But why is this important? Why am I dwelling on this? Why am I dwelling on Christmas Eve on with this one little phrase? Because it continues to come to pass. As Luke continues through his gospel account, as the other gospel writers continue through their gospel accounts, these are things, and they write of things, that truly did come to pass. Come to pass. Come to pass. That it came to pass, that it's not merely a nice story, but it actually happened. That this one, this baby in the manger, grew up to be one who would actually give sight to the blind. That it came to pass, that it's not just a nice story, but it actually happened. That this baby grows up to be one who heals the deaf and heals the lame. That it came to pass, that it's not just a nice story, but it actually happened. That this one grew up to be one who raised the dead. That it came to pass, that it actually happened, that it's not just a nice story. That this one grew up to be a great teacher who taught many great lessons and truths, including this one saying that he came into this world. He came into this world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And then it came to pass that it's not just a nice story, but it actually happened. That that one actually did suffer on the cross to make atonement for sin. That it came to pass that it's not just a nice story, but it actually happened. That this one rose again 3 days later from the grave. That it came to pass that all of these things came to pass. They're not just a nice story, but rather they actually happened. It came to pass. It came to pass. It came to pass. And furthermore, what is it that actually is coming to pass here in all of these things? It is the Father's plan, the Father's eternal plan set forth before the foundation of the world. The Father's eternal plan, the Father's eternal purposes is coming to pass, is coming to pass, and is coming to pass. And therefore, it will continue to come to pass. It will continue to come to pass. In conclusion, it's possible for me to read a fairy tale, to read a story, to read a fictional account, and to find it a wonderful story. Perhaps even gain from it some important moral, some important lesson that can be gained from that. But when I read this, when I read the Christmas account in Luke, when I read the rest of Luke, when I read the gospel accounts, when I read all these things that truly did come to pass, then these things demand a response of me. They demand a response of me. They demand a response even more than merely saying, yes, I believe these things actually did happen. They demand even more of a response from me. They demand that I embrace this account by faith. They demand that I embrace Christ by faith. They demand that I embrace him by faith as that which is most precious in all of life. It demands a response from me. It demands a response of faith, of embracing and trusting in Christ as that which is most precious to me in all of life, as that which is my only hope in life and in death. Let's pray.